Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 1st, 2011, episode 153, sponsored by Back on Track. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what? It's Wednesday.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
We have a show on Wednesday.
It's true.
It's time to go out to the barn. Let him out and work my arm. It's kind of like a meditation. Sort of like yoga, my religion. I get in a trance-like state as I pitch and as I race. The smell of manure and sweet grass hay. What a beautiful way to start your day. I'm 5 foot, but I never feel as tall as when I'm cleaning stalls.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us here on Horses in the Morning, and I just wanted to give you guys an update right off the bat on what happened yesterday at Boyd Martin's place, actually Philip Dutton's True Prospect Farm. Just a little recap from yesterday, and we're going to get to talk to Chris here in a second and get an update, but Boyd Martin had a fire at his barn. He actually rents from Philip Dutton at True Prospect Farm, and 11 horses were in the barn, and 6 horses passed away. 4 horses, maybe possibly 5 horses, are at the New Bolton Center at the University of Pennsylvania receiving care for injuries. So let's go ahead and get an update from Chris. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Yes, as of this morning, I can confirm that actually Ambassador's Rose was released from the New Bolton Center, but also admitted to the center over yesterday, in fact, was Minotaur de Passoir. So there are 4 horses at the New Bolton Center, and they include Catch a Star and Neville Bardas. Those 2 horses are actually in intensive care, and all are said to be doing as well as they can, of course, given the circumstances. But with these kind of injuries, those symptoms, of course, do change very quickly. But for the moment, they are as comfortable as can be. They're looking bright, and they're receiving excellent care. I spoke to Evie Dutton this morning, and she said it's amazing the wonderful community that has stepped up to support them. Everyone has been so helpful and supportive. Of course, was one of the, there were 3 riders, of course, that were in the apartment adjacent to the barn. That is Lillian Hurd, Caitlin Cinnamon, and Ryan Wood. And all of them, along with Boyd and others, were trying to rescue as many horses as they could. And as you said, Jamie, 6 horses did in fact perish in the fire, and a lot of property was lost. So there have been funds that have been set up to help, and we've put links on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page. We'll put them on, obviously, the website. There are lots of ways that people can contribute to help them recover from this absolute tragedy, because so much property was lost, not just the horses and the building structure itself, but lots of equipment. Of course, the 3 riders that were residing there, Ryan Wood, Caitlin Cinnamon, and Lynn Hurd, they all lost everything. They only had the clothes that they were standing in, but they obviously have somewhere to stay. They are being supported in every possible way to get back on their feet.
It's just an unbelievable tragedy when something like this happens. It just kind of rocks the horse world. And, you know, there is a lot of stuff that people can do if they just want to go look for it. Again, go to our Facebook page on Horses in the Morning. You know, Eagle Gold is donating 50% of saddle pad sales, that they have a link to help Boyd. You know, Denny Emerson is selling his book, and half the proceeds go to Boyd and his barn. So there's a bunch of different things. Doug Payne and Jimmy Wofford are selling their DVD, and they're donating all the money to the recovery fund. So, you know, there's definitely plenty of ways to help. And, you know, we just, thoughts and prayers go out to them. You feel so helpless being so far away, but I know there's so many people in the United States, that Chris, that are kind of in this similar situation right now, that have lost horses and lost barns with tornadoes and with weather and with, you know, big problems going on right now. It's spread throughout the country. So let this be, you know, the catalyst to everybody pitching in and helping everybody.
Well, I can confirm, because a number of people have been concerned about Remington, of course, mm-hmm. another horse of Boyd's, an advanced horse, four-star horse. He actually is fine.
Yeah, so I heard he turned out overnight.
Yeah, he is one that is actually fine. But as I said earlier, the situation with the others will change with those kind of injuries. Of course, they have been subjected to smoke inhalation, the effects of smoke inhalation, and some burns. But they are having the best possible care at New Bolton. And we'll be bringing you updates, of course, and also on the Eventing Radio show this week, which is now live at eventingradio.com and on iTunes. That does have more information. That has an interview with Samantha Lenville, who was the executive director of the Professional Riders Organization, who was and is still there at True Prospect Farm, and she gave us an update on the show. And that, of course, is all now live on the Eventing Radio show, and we will be bringing you more updates, Jamie.
Well, I was curious, too, do you know at all of kind of the follow-up on care, the horses that have had smoke inhalation and burns in this kind of situation? You know, not to say that they need to get back to work, but can they go back to work ever, or is this kind of a career-ending type injury for the horse?
I think the effect on the lungs has to be, you know, very serious and a very gradual process, just as it would be with a human.
Yeah.
But I'm not medically trained to answer that, and I think each case would be determined on its merit. And certainly the horse that has been released there yesterday, Ambassador's Rose, obviously considered well enough to leave hospital, but how soon that horse could be back in work would be a veterinary question, Jamie.
You know, and we have a veterinarian coming on today, Jamie. We're doing the health segment. Dr. Jones is going to be on today from Florida. So why don't we ask her that at the top of the health report with thehorse.com today. And let's follow up on that. It's a good question. I don't know the answer to that either. Chris, thank you so much for joining us. The Eventing Radio Show is live. We got it out this morning early so that that report on Boyd would be there. It's at eventingradio.com and also on iTunes. It's there now. So you'll find it either place or on Facebook. You can go to eventingradio.com and Facebook and play it there as well. Keep us informed, Chris. Let us know what's going on. And, of course, Chris is going to be joining Jamie and I and the whole gang of Horse Radio Network Monday night for the Horse World Gives Back. It's funny that this all, you know, ironic that this all happened at the same time. For the Horse World Gives Back Radiothon that we're doing on Monday night, we have a bunch of guests coming on. I just confirmed a guest, Chris, that works with Purina and Land O'Lakes, who was part of the search and rescue. Her and her dog, she has a search and rescue dog, were part of the search and rescue teams that went in after the tornadoes in Missouri, and she's going to talk to us about what it was like immediately after all of that. So we're going to have a number of guests. We're also going to talk Monday night about what you can do as far as prevention and preparation. How can you get prepared for things like this? What do you need to do? And you know, what we all have to keep in mind so that when something does happen, we're prepared for it. So and
that, of course, has been, we've included Glenn on this week's Eventing Radio show. Max Corcoran, of course, who's the groom to David and Karen O'Connor. She's a very well-respected groom, and she has shared with us some of those measures that can be taken to safeguard against obviously any emergencies, some things you can't prevent, like an electrical fire, but there's a lot of things that can be done before you leave the barn in the evening. So she has shared a lot of that information on this week's Eventing Radio show. And before I go, I just want to mention that I have been in touch with Boyd. We've been texting back and forth, and I've shared with him the radiothon next week, and that listeners can, if you tune in next week, you can actually contribute to his funds that we've spoken about this morning, and he is very, very appreciative of everybody's help.
All right. Thank you, Chris. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, guys.
Bye-bye. All right. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Hit the button. On today's show, we come out of the gate with the Western States Horse Expo. We'll have all the what-to-dos, where to shops, and who's going to be there that you're going to need, because it's quite the event. I think it's the oldest one of its kind in the country as well. So we'll be hearing from the top dog there at Western States Horse Expo, and then our weekly health report from Daredevil Equestrian Web Geek, Christy West, and thehorse.com. So stay tuned.
Daredevil. I like that. Well, my daily whinny goes out to Tony, who posted on our Facebook page and says, "Help, I got a new iPhone, but I can't find the Horses in the Morning app." I thought I would bring this up because just remind everybody how they can listen on their smartphones, on your iPhone or your Droid. There is no Horses in the Morning app. What you do is you go open your browser. So, what's that?
I said, yet. I want one. Make it happen.
Okay. So you open your browser and you type in, this is just as good, you type in horsesinthemorning.mobi on your browser, Safari if you're on an iPhone. So you open your Safari browser, you just type in horsesinthemorning.mobi, and you're going to see our show to play live. When we're live, there's a play live button. When we're not live, you can listen to past episodes, and you can listen to a whole bunch of past episodes. So, and that streams right to your iPhone or your Droid, works the same way. Actually, it also works on an iPod Touch. If you have an iPod Touch, you can do that as well, as long as you're near a wireless connection. But that's how you listen on your phone. And I think it's time for your Daily Whinny.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is officially true. The 2010 Horse of the Year, owned by Jerry and Ann Moss, trained by John Sheriff, living currently at Lanes End Farm in Versailles, Kentucky, has now been pronounced in full. Yay! Zenyatta's pregnant! You know what? They've been a little... You can turn that music off. I can't take it anymore. Sorry.
I was wondering how long you would go with the music playing.
I love that song, Glenn. Jeez, I just couldn't hear anything.
You know, I haven't been able to play Kegasus in 2 weeks. I had to dig out the memorable Zenyatta song.
Absolutely. You totally had to. And it's a perfect time because Zenyatta is in foal. They've been very sneaky about this. If you recall, she lost her foal when they did the 35-day check the last go-around. Turns out she was not in foal anymore, and I think there was a lot of media backlash. You know, I mean, this is definitely the public's horse. So they rebred her and didn't tell anybody. And so now she is 60 days in foal, 2 months in foal. So she, I guess, let's see, if it's June, May, she's going to have a decently early baby, not too bad, probably April, you know, whatever. It's going to work. So I'm super excited for Zenyatta and all her connections. I do, I love the fact that, you know, the foremost authority on horse racing is the blood horse. And I know I've talked about this before, but this is how the blood horse gets its information about Zenyatta. They quote her blog.
There's a lot of inside connections there, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I'm reading this blog, this article on the Blood Horse. Zenyatta, the 7-year-old daughter of Street Cry by Chris S., has been declared in full to Bernardini earlier in the year, but not a full with check, blah, blah, blah. And they give this whole news story, and they said, and here's from Zenyatta.com. I hope each of you had a wonderful, restful, and peaceful holiday. This day is so special. Everything at the farm is going very, very well. I want to share with you the fabulous day that I've had so far. This morning, the vets came to check me, and yes, I am eating for two. As of this morning, I have had what is technically called my 60-day checkup. I'm happily in full. All is A-OK. My pregnancy is progressing nicely, and the baby has a very strong heartbeat. Yippee. And then I must say I'm so excited. So are all of my team and family members. This is such terrific news. Bernie and I are going to be parents. Okay. That's awesome. The
Bernie?
Blood Horse is... obviously, she was bred to Bernardini, but apparently she calls him Bernie because, you know, you can when they've done what they've done. So she's got a pet name. And that is what the Blood Horse is quoting, is Zenyatta's blog. She did go on to say that it is the Moss's policy. They are not going to be fetal sexing to determine if a foal is a colt or a filly. They said, she said, my owners never do this with any of their mares. Part of the fun, in their opinion, is the anticipation. We will wait and be surprised. So, no word on filly or colt.
How are they now going to know whether to decorate the room pink or blue?
I know. I mean, I don't know how people wait. I would just have to know. I mean, there's so much to shop for.
You definitely would.
But I hate surprises.
I know. That would just drive you insane.
I couldn't do it. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, can you tell me now? You're not even pregnant yet. I know, but I'm going to need to know to plan ahead for the future.
And just so we can keep this in everybody's brain.
Zenyatta, Zenyatta, you hear the crowd yell. Zenyatta, Zenyatta, hear everyone say. We love you, Zenyatta.
That's enough. I think you got the idea, and then now that'll be stuck in there all day. Zenyatta, Zenyatta.
Yeah,
you'll be going to lunch going, Zenyatta, Zenyatta.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate it. I'm going to go to bed and hear that in my brain rattling around. Thanks. Thanks for that, Glenn.
You're welcome. Anything else I can help you with? Hey, did Jennifer announce, I forgot, I didn't hear. Did she announce that you're going to be starting the reading today?
I don't think she mentioned that. Today is the official day, day one, chapter one of Black Beauty. It's a big day here on Horses in the Morning. And, Glenn, I want you to, before we get to that segment, we're gonna talk to thehorse.com. And during that segment, there's going to be some gross stuff. So you can get up and go get a cup of coffee, as long as you are back in time to sit down with a cup of coffee, maybe, you know, have a fire going in the corner, and sit back and listen.
God, you really do want me to fall asleep.
And listen to, no, I said cup of coffee. You got to get a cup of coffee first. Sit back and listen to the tale told back in 1876 or something like that about a horse from his perspective in London. Okay? You going to pay attention?
I will. I will be enthralled with your every word. And part of the reason that I kind of decided I made the call to have it at the end of the show every day, because it's going to take like 150 days to read the damn thing.
Yeah, it's going to take a long time.
So I decided that we were going to do it at the end of the show every day, because really, if I fall asleep at the beginning of the show, there's no show. So I'm figuring I can fall asleep at the end, and then all I'll miss is the closing. You can do that.
You're going to be so surprised. You're going to be so, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. On a different note, Glenn, because we're going to get to that, and I'm sure you'll complain about it throughout the entire show for the next 150 days. I just posted the stinking cutest baby picture ever. I mean, this
is
not even right.
On Facebook?
On
our Facebook page?
It's on our Facebook page right now. This is the stinking cutest thing I've ever seen. Usually what I say is, I want one. Well, I would like to play with this as a baby and then give it back, because this sucker's going to be huge and angry. But right now he's really cute.
Yesterday it was an elephant, and today you're on to a hippo.
It's a baby hippo. Oh, my God. It's an orphan baby hippo. And I don't know where I found the picture, but it's an orphan baby hippo. And we appreciate, I think it was on the Horse and Man blog. Oh, God, it's cute. I want to squeeze it and play with it and kiss it.
I got to say, I'm not really with you on this one. I liked your baby elephant picture better yesterday.
The videos of the baby elephants playing in the water. Oh, my God.
That was
cute.
That was much cute. This hippo is kind of ugly.
Oh, I think he's adorable. There's no ugly baby animals, Glenn.
Do we have to start doing a reading about hippos now, too?
No, I just wanted to post that. Give me a Graceland update.
Thank God there was no book written in 1800 about hippos.
I bet I could find one.
Save me. All right. It looks like other people agree with you. How come everybody always agrees with you? Where's the men here supporting me? Where are the men listeners? Help me out here.
No, everybody loves baby animals, Glenn. Everybody does. And there's a lot of books about hippos, so you better watch your mouth. Just Googled it.
Hey, we're going to Graceland next week, next Friday. Yay, woohoo! So we're going to be doing our big radiothon Monday night and then doing a bunch of shows, and then we're going to Graceland. I got good news on that front, too, and that's Raphael, Ivory Powell's owner. Remember, Raphael and Ivory Powell, our hottest couple of the year last year. Raphael is coming over, and he's actually the one that got this all set up because he knows the lady who takes care of the barn at Graceland. And he's the one that was instrumental in getting this all started. And he's coming over and going to co-host the show. Jamie's actually going to be producing from Arizona because she lives in the middle of nowhere in a desert, and it costs a fortune to take her anywhere. So she can't come.
I cannot argue.
She can't come. She has to play producer that day. Jennifer and I are going down, and we're going to meet Raphael. And the barn manager has been the barn manager there for like 25 or 30 years at Graceland. So she's going to be with us during the show, and we're going to talk all about Elvis's horses. And we're going to be broadcasting actually right from the barn. We're going to be set up in the barn. They're getting us an internet connection in the barn at Graceland. So Jennifer and I are going in the day before with Raphael, and they're going to give us a tour at 1 o'clock. We're going to go meet all his horses and tour the plane and the house and everything. And then Friday morning the 10th, starting at 9 o'clock, we're going to have an hour show live from Graceland. As far as we know, it's the first live broadcast directly from the barn at Graceland. So another first for the Horse Radio Network.
Who else would have done that? It's the first ever barn broadcast. Yeah, that's because nobody else is crazy enough to broadcast from Elvis's barn. What exactly, and this is going to be a really stupid question, but I've never been to Memphis, and I don't know. Can you just tour that area? Are there going to be people on tours while you're doing a show, or is it closed
probably
to the public?
I don't think it opens that early. We're going to be there 8 o'clock Central Time. So we're actually, he's going to be dragging some staff in early to do this. I asked the PR person I've been dealing with, I said, is that okay? She said, you don't know what we have to go through. Sometimes we're here at midnight when they want to film at Graceland. So she said there's all the time TV radio crews coming in and out. But yes, it is open for touring, and of course, Memphis is known for barbecue, which you wouldn't care about, but we care a lot because Jennifer and I are barbecue fans. So we will be hitting, as a matter of fact, Raphael said, I have the barbecue place. We're going for barbecue Thursday night. I think I'm going to be eating barbecue, brisket, and beef, and pork for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 4 days. That's my goal. I want to raise my cholesterol level by 10 points in 4 days. My God.
Oh, my God. That is not just – it's not just cholesterol. I mean, you're basically shutting down your arteries is what you're going to do. You're like, hey, just inject that barbecue sauce and that pork fat directly into my main vein here, and we'll – oh, my God. I'm so glad I'm a vegetarian.
I am. You miss out on the best food in life. You're just missing it. Oh, barbecue.
I wouldn't say I miss it, Bob. I don't miss anything. I would like you to know that, first of all, my baby hippo picture is very popular. Mandy says she loves it. Karen says, oh, how cute. And my friend Tracy says, put that in a box and send it to me. However, Glenn, we do have a male listener. Rick says, sorry, Glenn, personally, I don't find this animal very appealing, but I learned a long time ago that you weren't supposed to say that around the ladies because they think all babies are cute. Rick, you're a smart man. See, that guy's got it figured out.
I think he was backing me up here. Thank you, Rick. I'm going to take that as backing me up, Rick.
No, yeah. He's telling you you're wrong. Oh,
it's all
my
in
gosh.
How you read it. If you leave out the sorry Glenn part, then he's backing me up. He
whatever makes you feel
he's
better.
He's not finding it very, very appealing. I got to give you that the video you had of the two. You should post that on here. The video you had of the two little elephants playing was quite. That was cute. That was really cute.
Okay. I think you have to. I can't get it on the Horses in the Morning page, but definitely we'll post that. It's two baby elephants playing in a pool, and it's the cutest thing ever. I do have a news story for you, Glenn, that I thought you would appreciate, just because it's an ass. It's a story about an ass. It's a hungry donkey, and I thought that it would be appropriate for you. There's a town in Colombia.
Do I want to hear this?
This is very funny. There's a town in Colombia that has had floods and all sorts of natural disasters like throughout the years. So there are a lot of animals that just roam around this town of Pampanillo. And so Pampanillo Mayor Felipe Torizo Lobo confirmed that they were holding an election, Glenn. They were holding an election, and people were coming in to cast their votes. And the registrar was sitting there, and he was kind of watching over the votes, and you know that had been put in the box and stuffed in there. And the registrar had to go to the bathroom, so he gets up and he goes to the restroom, and he comes back, and what does he see? Completely chewing on all of the votes inside the box. A donkey. There was a donkey wandering around who walked up to this, waited for the registrar to leave, walked up and started eating the votes that had been cast already. So
basically what you're saying is we had an ass making sure another ass didn't get into office.
Exactly. A hungry ass making sure another ass didn't get into office. You can find this story on eluniversial.com.co. They report that the donkey did leave the office voluntarily and that the destruction of the forms were immediately reported to the registrar of San Fernando and new ones were sent. The mayor did say it was common to see animals roaming the area and many had fled floods and surrounding districts. So what do? Do you have to vote again or can they? I don't know.
As I said, one less ass in office. Not too bad. Not too bad.
Yeah.
You think the opponents? There's going to be a conspiracy. Now, see, if that was the United States, Jamie, there'd be a whole conspiracy between the Democrats and Republicans on who sent the donkey in. You
well,
know,
isn't
there
the
would
donkey,
be.
The Democrats, like, thing?
Oh, yes.
Mascot?
So it would have been the Democrats' fault.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly it would have been a Republican district. For sure.
Yeah.
There would have been like an interrogation. There would have been the donkey would have been in the little room in the police station being interrogated. The FBI would be involved. There'd be a cover up. People would go to jail all because of the donkey.
I love it. Hey, by the way, Jennifer posted the baby elephant video online on the Horses in the Morning page.
Baylor and Tupelo.
Baylor and Tupelo in the pool. This is awesome. You've got to watch this video. Everybody take a second. It's like a minute long. It's the cutest thing ever. And so we got the baby hippo versus the baby elephants, which are cuter.
All right. Well, we'll find out. But right now we have to take a break for our sponsor today, which is Back on Track. And then we're coming back. So funny. I was talking to Templeton Thompson last night, and she's going to be helping us out a little bit for the radiothon. And she mentioned that next weekend, while we're in Memphis, not too far from her house, we're going to stop and see her. She's going to be at the Western States Expo. And I went, oh, I don't know much about the Western States Expo. And then you told me this morning that you got an email about some expo in California, the Western States Expo, and that you don't know much about it. And then we look at the schedule for today, and who has Jennifer booked? The president of the Western States Expo. So we get all our answers, our questions answered in a matter of a couple of minutes, and we'll be right back with that.
Listeners have been asking why Back on Track products work and what is the science behind them. Well, they have evolved from a combination of ancient Chinese wisdom and modern science, as well as skilled textile production. This result is a polyester polypropylene fabric with a ceramic powder that's melted into the fabric's very own weave. The ceramic particles reflect body heat as an infrared wave, a form of energy with a highly documented pain-relieving effect. This reflected heat helps to ease inflammation, reduce muscle pain, and increase blood circulation. Back on Track products can be used to warm up your horse's muscles before exercise, thus reducing the risk of strains or injury. Most importantly, the product's dual capacity to prevent injury as well as ease and expedite the recovery of already present injuries is what makes Back on Track products so unique. I hope that helps as to why their products are so effective. Visit them at backontrackproducts.com. That's backontrackproducts.com.
And we're back. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek, and we have Jamie Jennings here as well out there in beautiful, sunny Arizona. But I got to say that we hit 93 yesterday. Did we beat you?
Oh, no. You did not. It is, you know, this week was supposed to be beautiful. Sunday and Monday were like high of 87, 88. And those are amazing days to have because it's like a reprieve. So yesterday was back to, I think, 100. And the rest of the week, the highs are like 101, 102, 103. I'm actually having a really cool thing. This weekend, you know, my husband is leaving to go on his fishing trip to Canada with his dad and his brothers and all the boys.
Oh, that's right. Infamous fishing trip. You know, yes. My dad always said, the things you worry about the most never happen. And remember all that discussion we had about you guys, about him going away while you were at your big horse show and what kind of family strife that was causing and everything? And it never happened because you don't have a horse show.
Yeah, exactly. I was punishing him for missing my first horse show. But he's not going to miss it, so it's a happy story. So this is what I've decided to do with myself for the Saturday night because I'm wild and crazy.
Las Vegas with the girls in a stripper bar?
Glenn, you had to tell. No, I'm way more tame than that, and I'm broke. So we will not be going to Vegas. I am having the first official Flyover Farms camp out. Yeah.
Oh, you enjoyed camping so much last week with the bugs that you want to do it again?
See, this is the smart part of this whole story is I've invited all of my students. I have a ton of teenager students. I have students from the age of like 12, I mean all the way 72, but I've invited all of my teenage students to come out, and we are going to have a big camp out. So they get to put their tents up out in my pasture or my arena, we haven't decided yet, and put their tents up out there. Camp out, we're going to have a bonfire. With, I did invite Jennifer, by the way, and she didn't respond to my e-vite. Thank you very much, Jennifer. So we're going to have a big bonfire. We're going to roast marshmallows and have s'mores. We are also going to cook on the grill. I have veggie hot dogs, veggie burgers, and real hot dogs. Somebody might want to eat those. And then we're also going to have horse movies under the stars, Glenn.
You talked about having veggie burgers, hot dog, veggie dogs, and somebody might want to eat real hot dogs. And then the next thing you said, and we're also going to have horse.
Oh, you come had, on now.
You had
Don't
me concerned there for a minute. So you're going to
horse
play.
Movies. I am going to wheel out the big screen to the patio That's actually Chad's job before he leaves Saturday morning, is he's got to wheel the Baptist tree down on the patio. And we're going to set up chairs, and we're going to watch Secretariat and Seabiscuit outside with the horses. Now, the good thing is, Glenn, it is 105 is scheduled to be the high that day.
Oh, my gosh.
Once the sun goes down.
It's a dry heat.
It's stupid. It's dry because it sucks the moisture out of your body, okay? So we are going to have that, but it will cool down to about 78 degrees, which is perfect for sleeping outside. Now, the brilliant part is that I have all these teenagers that I'm going to send out into the pasture where they will be pitching their tents and hanging out and spending time in the pasture sleeping, which is where I will then respectfully bow out and head inside. Go to bed in my
house. You're not sleeping. You're wimping out. You're going to leave them out there to freeze to death when it gets down to 40 degrees at night, and then you're going to wimp out. No bugs for you.
Well, listen here. What happened, Glenn, is that, one of my students did not have a tent, and I only have one tent. So I said she could borrow my tent, which leaves me tentless, which leaves me no other choice but to go inside and sleep in my bed. Because I'm a giver, Glenn, I'm a giver.
Well, I'm so proud of you. You're not going to Vegas. You're not doing wild women things with the wild women friend of yours. You're just staying home and having a nice, quiet little evening with the boarders.
However, there might be a Los Angeles adventure next weekend.
See, you didn't mention
that. We shall
part.
See. Can I do my show from Los Angeles? Can I broadcast next Friday from L.A.? Cause I just
sure, we could probably find a horse place. You know what? You can't. Not next Friday. You're producing the show from Phoenix.
Son of a gun. All right.
Can't go.
Fine.
No partying for you.
Ah, you're killing me. Darn it, I should have mixed these weekends up. I should have switched them. Oh, well. That's all right. Also, I can leave for L.A. right after the show. See, it's only a short five-hour drive for me.
Oh, yeah, you're really close to L.A., aren't you? What would you do in L.A.? What's there possibly to do in L.A. on a weekend?
Three words, Glenn. Santa Monica Pier. It is the most awesome, fun place to shop. Walk around. Oh, yeah, Santa Monica Pier, you walk around.
Let me clarify this. So you still are punishing your husband. You're going shopping while he's gone.
Well, there's a mix of drinking and shopping, Glenn, because there's also a lot of outdoor pubs along the Santa Monica Pier. And it's on the beach. So you walk down the Santa Monica Pier, and you get a drink, and then you walk down, and there's like, you know that Muscle Beach?
I've been there.
Yeah, you've been working. You clearly weren't working out, were you?
No, I clearly was not, although I did rent the bike and rode for about 10 miles down Venice Beach to see all the sights. And let me tell you, there are sights to see on Venice Beach.
That's why I like to do that. You go, and it makes it all the more entertaining if you're shopping and drinking the entire way. Of course, I'm talking Diet Coke, obviously.
Yes, of course. That's all they drink on Venice Beach. If you can find a Diet Coke in Venice Beach, you're going to be lucky.
Yeah, you make a good point. This is what I did. I had a job interview. I won't say where it was, but it was a job interview in Los Angeles. And it was the worst job interview I have ever experienced in my entire life, Glenn. I mean, it was so bad. And so it was like one of those L.A., like, you're not hot enough to do this job, but you might be hot enough to do this job. That kind of thing. And it was so embarrassing, and I wanted to jump out the window. So after that, my friends, who were so excited that I had an LA job interview, were waiting on me. They're like, "How'd it go?" And I started crying. And so we went to Venice Beach and the whole Santa Monica Pier and started drinking at about 11 in the morning. Made our way through the entire, all the way down the stretch. Had to get a cab back to the house. It was awesome.
And I think that happens a lot with job interviews in Los Angeles. And speaking of California, let's talk about Sacramento, California, one of the largest horse expos out there. And we have the president of the Western States Horse Expo that's coming up June 10th through the 12th next weekend while we're at Graceland doing our show. I know that a lot of people are going to be over at the Western States Horse Expo, and you could stop over there and do something horsey while you're there, Jamie. You could stop and visit there. After your night of drinking, you could go to the Western States Horse Expo the next day and have a quality day. And we have the president of the Western States Horse Expo, Mickey Cohen, on with us. Good morning, and thank you for getting up this early.
Hey, good morning, and thank you for having me on.
Will you let Jamie come in? Do you let people like Jamie attend the Western States Horse Expo? Or
yeah, we do, and we encourage it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I was just Googling the drive from Phoenix all the way to Sacramento. Might not be doable driving, probably like 18 hours. However, I could fly pretty cheap. I got to tell you, I was checking my email last night, and I got an email because I'm a part of the John Lyons email list, and it was talking about this Western Expo that he's going to be doing, like, clinic after clinic after clinic after clinic at, I mean, like, almost on the hour, and I was like, I want to go to that. Where is that? I want to find out more, and here you are.
Okay.
And then I talked to Templeton Thompson last night, and I think she's coming up to your place next weekend, too.
Well, she is. Everybody will be there. So if you're trying to get a hold of somebody and you can't, you know you need to be in Sacramento.
Let's go.
Tell us about the fair. How long has it been around? And for those of us on the East Coast who haven't had an opportunity to go, tell us all about it.
Well, this is its 13th year, and it's always been at Cal Expo in Sacramento. It's been a very large event, even from its first year. We have over 500 exhibitors. We have a huge horse trailer area for purchasing horse trailers. And that's all outdoors. And it's, you know what, it used to be the largest collection of horse trailers, and it still might be with the economy and things changing in the trailer world. It's still huge. It's just not quite as huge as it used to be. And then the barns and corrals, an area we call the ranch, there's full-size barns built on display so people can see what's out there in that spectrum. But there's three arenas going, full-size arenas going full-time with different clinicians and so forth, lots of educational opportunities. We have an art show with over 150 pieces of never-seen-before art, all equine-related. And we have a horse sale on Saturday night with a barbecue. Mm-hmm. And we have the Magnificent Seven All-Around Stock Horse Championship is on Friday night. And you'll absolutely see the best of the best in that world at the Magnificent Seven.
I see here it says you have a driving derby. What's a driving derby?
Well, it is something that's more common on the East Coast, actually. And it is basically like a three-day event in driving. So there can be different teams, either one up, two up, or even four up, and they'll perform in dressage, cross country, and a timed cones course.
Oh, so it's a driving event, actually.
Yes.
So that's cool. That's neat that you're doing that out there. That'll be fun for everybody to watch.
Yeah. It's fun to do, too.
And then it looks like I see here something else, too, that's really big. We're at Lexington, Kentucky. And, of course, mm-hmm. we have Briar Fest, and you have Briar West.
Yes. Yes, we do. Briar West is not happening this year, however.
Oh, no.
The building that that they used is gone, and so we didn't have room for it this year, and we're hoping for Briar West return next year because it has turned into a fantastic Briar event.
You are going to have those Briar addicts, they're going to be petitioning outside your gate with signs.
I know. You are right. We've already been hearing about it, let me tell you.
They're addicts. Yeah. They're like rabbits.
Yes. Yeah. Right, just like all the horsemen are, right.
Hey, I do have a serious question for you. The outbreak has had to have been a concern. Are you still doing all the horse events? Is everything going on schedule? And have you altered the biosecurity and all of that?
Yes. Everybody, yes, and yes. Everybody is still scheduled and will remain so, you know, because of the nature of the, quote, outbreak, the nature of it, and we are going on no matter what. But the biosecurity, yes, we have changed that significantly. The stalls are being treated before the horses come. Even though horses haven't been in the stalls, it's kind of more of a comfort service that we're providing.
Make the owners feel a little better. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're encouraging, you know, visitors are going to be encouraged and given the capability to wash their hands more frequently and things like that. Horses are going to have health certificates that come in. You know, and we already did a lot of these things, but we're just going to tighten it up a little bit more. We have more veterinary staff on the grounds. Even while the horses are on the grounds, they're encouraged to take temperatures more frequently. I don't think they did that before. And then if anything's, you know, slightly off kilter, the horses will be asked to leave. But, you know, we're just not expecting anything like that. The horses that are coming have nothing to do with the horses that have been infected or don't come from the barns where those horses are. You know, we've pretty much secured all of that information already. The Magnificent Seven horses are in their own barn. The horse sale horses are in their own barn. And the breed display and clinician horses are off in their own barn. So I'm proud to say of our horsemen and women that it's been very self-regulated. They're very educated people, and they're very proactive. And, you know, our rules and regulations that we've implemented have been a comfort more than anything. But, you know, that these people have already implemented a lot of these things in their daily care and their excitement of coming to the Horse Expo as well. So we're very proud and not surprised by that. So that's what we're doing there.
You know, And it's just one of those things that you guys are going to have to be on top of because, you know, unfortunately, California has gotten a kind of a bad name about it. But, you know, as long as I think it sounds like you're doing everything right. So good for you guys. Now, I was looking here at the list of clinicians that are going to be there, and it's a very impressive list. So tell us, you know, a little bit about who you guys have booked and what's going to be going on clinician-wise.
Oh, boy. Well, Ken McNabb, he will be doing, you know, I don't have exactly their list of all their topics, but Ken McNabb will be doing, you know, the general horsemanship, and I believe he's doing some colt starting. Bob Avila will be out there giving some of his wisdoms from his incredible accomplishments and his horsemanship and training as well. So reining and reined cow horse will be his topics. You know, he does a lot of seminars on confirmation for performance horses and so forth. John Lyons, we don't even have to discuss. We all know what he's going to be doing.
He's doing the John Lyons thing.
Yeah. Well,
reading about what he was going to do, I mean, he runs the gamut from spooking to starting to trail stuff to, I mean, any possible problem that you can have with your horse, Don Lyons has it on his list of things to cover.
Right. Yep, Don has a lot going on. It's wonderful. You must be looking at the schedule. I am not.
I actually wasn't looking at it. I've got the names here in front of me, but I just saw that in the John Lyons email I got last night.
Right.
And so that's the only reason I know all that. But that's what's curious about the other ones. There are some names on here that, you know, forgive me, I'm not that familiar with, but it even looks like there's some show jumpers and dressage riders. So there's something for English and Western, and there's mounted shooting.
Correct. Oh, and then Mark Bolander, the Extreme Trail. Have you seen that?
Okay. No, I haven't. What is that?
Well, it's a course that's built, but it's pretty extreme. I mean, you know, there's bridges, but they're really different bridges and big logs and big all kinds of obstacles. And it's a timed event. And, I mean, it's just a whole new way to have a ton of fun with your horse in kind of a horse show environment. So we're really looking forward to that. That's going to be different to the event as well. And I think that whole activity, while it's not that new, it's pretty new, you know, the introducing it to the general horse population, we're really looking forward to that. So David Bowden will be there with trailer maintenance, and we have a couple of dressage riders and instructors. Mike Major will be there. He's his big claim to fame in the competition world is ranch horse versatility. And he's also shown in the World's Greatest Horseman. He's an avid cattle rancher. And so he's an incredibly well-rounded individual we're looking for. He's a first time for us as well. So we're looking forward to all of that, too. And then, you know, it, ironically, Sunday we had a whole lecture series being brought to us by UC Davis and the Department of Food and Ag on biosecurity. Seriously, it was scheduled months ago.
Wow, so there you go.
Right, right, right. So, yeah. In fact, our doctor on that topic, we had him on the news a couple of weeks ago trying to explain to the general population, you know, what was really going on with the horses. So, yeah, very interesting.
Well, this is terrific. It is, let me just review here. It's June the 10th through the 12th. Hours are 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Friday and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Sunday. Is there an admission to get in?
Yes, $18 a day.
Okay, and that covers everything. You get to watch all the clinics and do everything. And I hope the food is better. Some of those expos we have here in the East, the food's not very good. But you're having a barbecue and stuff, so I'm assuming the food's better out there.
Well, and you know what? Our place is set up. We're like Disneyland. We have three huge food courts. I mean, it's set up to be there for 3 days, and you won't see anything twice.
Oh, good. So all right, good. And, of course, they can follow you on Facebook and Twitter, and you have videos on YouTube. And the website is horse, it's simple, easy to remember, horseexpo.com. Good luck with this next week. Thank you so much for getting up early to come on. And if you want to go out and see it, join 70,000 of your friends. To visit the Western States Horse Expo and have a good time with some of our friends, Templeton Thompson and John Lyons. And I'm looking at Bob Avila's been on our shows. You know, I'm looking at Richard Winter's been on our shows. And, of course, mounted shooters of all sorts have been on our shows. So I think you guys are going to have a great time.
Well, great. Thank you. I hope to see you all out there.
All right. Why aren't we going to this? We should be broadcasting from there, Jamie. It sounds nice, weather beautiful, and next year we'll have to do that.
Yes, let me help you.
All right, thank you, Mickey. Appreciate it.
All righty, take care. Bye.
Yeah, seriously, if they can fly all those trainers out there and get all those people going, certainly we can do a live broadcast from the Western Horse Expo, just the
you
Western
know,
Expo.
They really need a couple of celebrities to come out. I'm looking at this list, and John Lyons.
Yeah. And when you find some celebrities that'll go to that, just let me know. We'll pitch it to her.
Well, I was trying to think, this has been actually an emotional week for all of us here at the Horse Radio Network because we're getting prepared to do this radiothon. And then the Boyd Martin tragedy happened. And we're reading all these stories, doing our background to get prepared and getting guests lined up for the radiothon. And it's just been an emotional week listening to what some of these people have been through. And I got to thinking, what song would be appropriate for today? So, Jamie, go to the bathroom. This is one that I thought would work for today. It just it meant a lot to me when I listened to it this morning. We've heard it once or twice here before. It's by Marianne Kennedy. It's called The Language of Love, and I thought it was appropriate for everything that's been going on. We're going to be back after this beautiful song to talk about pussy strangles with thehorse.com.
The language of love is what I understand when you reach for me with a gentle hand. Actions speak louder, words aren't enough in the language of love. not spoken with the tongue, it comes from the heart, it's heard by everyone, crosses all borders around the world, the universal language of love. Every person, every creature, every moment with every breath, we can send a thought to heal, and what we give is what we'll get.
Radio Network. I am Jamie Jennings, along with, of course, Glenn the Geek, and the show today is sponsored by Back on Track. So thanks, you guys, for tuning in. Glenn, you know, we just have a couple more days, a week and a half, actually, 10 days till the Belmont Stakes. And that's the final jewel of the Triple Crown. And I know you said you didn't care about it because obviously there's not going to be a Triple Crown winner this year. But I just wanted to let you know that it has been confirmed Animal Kingdom will be running in the Belmont Stakes.
Okay. And do we know about Triple M? Is Triple M going to run, or haven't they decided yet?
They have pointed him in the direction of that. So I don't think – this is the first time I've seen anybody's name as actually confirmed for the Belmont Stakes. But let me look here and see what I find on that. This is pretty much the only one that I've seen that has been completely confirmed for the race.
Okay. That's the Belmont Stakes. That would be a race up there in New York that nobody cares about, right? That one?
Oh, my gosh. What do you want to talk about, Glenn? What do you care about? Let's just talk about whatever you want to talk about.
No, just kidding. I'm just kidding you. You get so passionate about it.
Shackleford has also arrived at Belmont Park, just so you know. So he's probably going to run. It's going to be a little, runoff, basically.
Well, that would make it exciting. I got to give you that one.
Yeah, and of course it doesn't matter because Mucho Macho Man is going to win.
I will be watching it from a barbecue joint in Memphis.
That's a commitment. Well done. Well done.
I will thoroughly enjoy it while eating my brisket. Hey, I want to say you can play the whip sound because I'm going to give you whiplash here right now.
You're going to have to play it.
Okay. I'll play my own whip sound. I just wanted to say hi to Mandy Widrick, who comes on here and does our new media update, telling us about all the cool websites and stuff. She posted on, I don't know if you saw, go take a look.
Excuse
me. She posted on her Facebook page. She says, "We're listening in from the pasture. Lark and Lily, say hello." So there's her horses, Lark and Lily.
Oh, that's so cute.
Thank you, Mandy. We always
like to see
the equines that are listening to us.
I'm just going to comment on the baby animal thing. Okay, here's what I think. I see a picture of a baby pygmy hippo, and I post it online, and I'm like, oh, my God, that's the cutest thing ever. I want to squeeze it. I love it. All these girls are like, I love it. It's so cute. Oh, my gosh, it's adorable. And Susan Nelson, Susan Nelson, who clearly is smarter than every one of us, because I just get all emotional. She says, the appealing look that baby mammals have seems to be recognized by other primates. It's thought to be an evolutionary survival mechanism within species.
Susan, you got way too much time in your hands.
Susan is just so much smarter than the rest of it. I'm like, ah, and that I am apparently a primate because I see a baby animal and I'm like, oh my God, it's so cute. I love it. And she's like, yes, that is an evolutionary survival mechanism.
You just have not evolved as far as me, apparently, because I don't do that with every baby animal. So I think your evolution stopped at some point is what she's trying to say. See, she's actually agreeing with me here.
You haven't even evolved to the primate status, Glenn. You're a guy. I mean, you don't even have that yet. Can we please get the horse.com on? They've got to save us because I am going to tear you apart this morning.
It's time for the weekly health report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and Chrissy's attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
This week, because we're going to talk about delicious, yummy strangles. Oh, it's going to be so fun. But before we get to that,
Jamie, I'm not sure we have Dr. Jones on yet, so let's say hi to Christy first.
Oh, Good morning, Christy.
How are you?
How are things going? You have to have been so busy with this whole herpes gate.
I have been telling people that I've been up to my elbows, or up to my shoulders, actually, in herpes for about a week.
Yuck!
Hot for a laugh. This is another way to ruin Glenn's lunch. It wasn't even on schedule.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we've been busy. I'm kind of out of it a little bit now. Our news editor Erica is still covering all the updates on the outbreak quite a bit. But those two webinars that we ran last week. Went really, really well. They were very, very popular. I was really glad that we could get a lot of information out to people on such a short notice.
You said you had like thousands of listeners.
We did.
It was a ton. Yeah.
We did. It was pretty crazy trying to put together a couple of webinars on such a hot topic in less than a week. It was very busy, and it was awesome. We got a lot of good job. Good comments. Well, thank you very much. Well, you know, it's all this training that I've gotten on the radio show.
Yes, it's all this practice.
Yeah, but I'm sure yours was a little more serious and informative. However, do you have any updates for us at all as far as those of us living out west that are kind of stuck at their houses right now?
Well, we've got a new update on our website. It went up, I believe, yesterday. Let me double check. We've got an article. It's number 18326. So if you want to type in thehorse.com/18326 or just go to the homepage, it's currently listed under the More News Equine Herpes Virus Outbreak Weekend Cases Boost Total Numbers. And there aren't a ton of new cases. I mean, it looks like there was one new case in Idaho, another case in California, let's see, 8 total in Alberta. Another university horse in Washington. I'm just running down the list here. So,
and I know there was a new one in Texas, but it wasn't related at all to the previous outbreak.
Right, and a total of 11 in Arizona now. So, sorry, Jamie.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're going to have our horse trials that are coming up in June. They're just really cracking down on the biosecurity. I believe that they are going to institute a temperature policy. You take the temperature twice a day, morning and night, and any horse that shows any sort of temperature is going to be has less than 2 hours to evacuate the premises.
Right, and there you go. And that's something, you know, equine herpes virus is not something, as has been mentioned in a lot of places, but just to keep driving it home, it's not a new disease. It's a new outbreak of the disease, but it's something that a lot of horse populations have been dealing with for a long time, and it's not an automatic death sentence. It's a disease, and it's a neurologic disease, which is never fun, especially in a large animal, but it's something that we've been dealing with for a while. So if people are just careful, biosecurity is important, and not just for herpes virus. I mean, also for things like, strangles. Or, you know, we've had some questions lately about, you know, does my horse really need a Coggins to go to this show? Yes. I mean, we're trying to keep diseases out of these areas where horses can congregate and spread it quickly and then take it home to all points of the globe as happens. So I think honestly, nobody likes an outbreak, but it's good that people are getting reminded to be careful. For a number of reasons, not just herpes.
Christy, I wanted to ask you about something else, too, and you guys have probably done some articles on it, and I'm putting you on the spot here a little bit. We're waiting for Dr. Jones is apparently incommunicado at the moment, so we're waiting, trying to get her on the line. You know, she is a veterinarian, so we have to expect that occasionally.
She is crazy busy right now, and see if Jennifer got my note about her cell number as well.
She said cell got machine, service right now, went right to there, so she's still trying.
Okay, no worries.
But in the meantime, you know, we've been covering, obviously, the Boyd Martin fire story. And have you guys done – Jamie had an excellent question, is when a horse has smoke inhalation like his horses did, have you guys done articles – Is there recovery possible, or do they always have damage? Can they ever compete at the top levels again? Do you know anything about that?
That's an excellent question. And we've got an article. Of course, we have an article on this. We have articles on almost everything.
I figured.
perfect. By the way, Aaron says try or sell again. We have an article on thehorse.com. It's number 10732. It's about the wildfires that happened a few years ago, and it was just written in association with that about dealing with smoke inhalation. And, excuse me, one of the questions, number four on the list, is how long does it take the lungs and upper airway to heal? And the short answer is time required for healing of the respiratory tract varies with the severity and duration of the insult. In general, the upper respiratory tract will recover more quickly than the lower respiratory tract. Mild cases of smoke inhalation may require 2 to 4 weeks for recovery to occur, but more severe cases will take months, and the most severe cases will heal with some scar tissue, which could result in chronic respiratory problems. So it depends on how much smoke they got.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Sure. And but again, if you want to check that the rest of the things in that article out, questions, you know, what can be done to protect horses in smoky areas if you can't get them out? Again, not so much a fire in the barn scenario as something where there's a lot of fires in the area. What can you do if your horse was in smoke and is coughing and has watery eyes or nasal discharge? What happens when a horse breathes in smoke for multiple days? Things like that. So there's a number of questions there you might want to check out. And again, that's thehorse.com/10732.
And I know you guys are also keeping up on the Boyd Martin situation, as well as the Chronicle and Eventing Nation. So, yeah, if somebody wants information, they can check any of those places, of course. All right, it looks like we have Dr. Jones is ready here, and we're getting her. Trying to get her on the line here. Are you there, Dr. Jones?
Yes, sir. I am so sorry. I tried calling back, and I could hear you guys talking about me, and it was all smack, and I was really disappointed. And I'm here. I can hear you.
Perfect. Well, and actually, Aaron,
heard
it. Here.
I keep forgetting that.
and now that Aaron's here, we wanted to talk a little bit of smack to you guys, by the way, Glenn and Jamie.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's got to be a little bit of payback, because if you'll remember, the last couple of shows that we've done, we've asked about the jingle, because we haven't had the jingle, and we missed the jingle. We like the jingle.
I played it today. Did you hear it?
You played it today, and you played it last week when neither one of us were here.
We were so disappointed.
Well, here.
It's time for the weekly health report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and Christy's attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
Are you happy now?
I feel so much better.
I definitely do. So let's go ahead and try to ruin Glenn's lunch and get on to our topic.
Do it.
Woo-hoo! Go for
it. I'll be back in about 10 minutes, guys.
No, stay right here.
You don't get to leave. All right, so we're talking about strangles, as you know, and I think Aaron's got some really good nasty strangle stories. Just to talk about what is strangles and how what kind of clinical signs it has, and let's pull out all the stops, please.
Well, as we all know, the word strangles is used because the horses would have enlarged lymph nodes underneath the jaw that would cut off their ability to breathe and strangle them. So that's where the name came from. It's because of the bacteria, Strep equi, that is growing in their respiratory tract and lodges in those lymph nodes and abscesses. So, as you know, Gwen, with abscessing, there's a lot of pus, a lot of swelling, and they get so large that they actually bust open and discharge. So before they bust open and discharge, that's your best time to address the situation to try to treat it so it doesn't bust open and discharge, because once they discharge, they're discharging all that bacteria and able to spread it from horse to horse. And, of course,
that's the best time to tell your wife, call the vet, I'm out of here, and then you go play golf. That is what a horse husband does at a time like that.
And they go wash their hands before they leave and change their clothes and maybe even scrub their boots.
No, see, that big slobbering pile
that's on the ground of pus.
It doesn't matter because we never got that close.
Oh, really? Okay. Now, besides the discharge coming from underneath the lymph nodes, it also comes profusely out the nostrils. And it's a loads of fun to walk down a whole barn that's having a strangles outbreak and seeing horses hanging their heads out the stall doors with a big puddle of pus underneath them. It's just pouring out. And that's the biggest problem with this is it goes horse to horse to horse. They usually don't die. They usually don't strangle themselves to death. But they do get the disease very easily. So we call it an endemic, meaning it spreads from one to the other very quickly, disease. So that decreases your training time. It decreases the health, you know, the ability to go out and ride or enjoy your horse. And it increases your cost because you've got care, meaning veterinary care, vaccine care, daily cleanup care, biosecurity cleanup, things like that. So it's a very costly disease. It's usually not costly in the death of a horse unless things go wrong, but it is a costly disease.
And nice and messy for Glenn. So, you know, make sure you're not walking through those puddles as you go through the barn, back to the cleaning the roof.
This is a
divorce.
I think if there was a whole barn outside, I was the horse husband, and the whole barn had strangles, that's grounds for divorce right there. That's just, I'm out of here, I'll see you. Or at least, not divorce, separation for about, how long does it take to get it out of there? That's how long you're separated.
It depends on when you catch it in the process of the disease. Again, if before they abscess, if they're not too big, you can start treating with penicillin or some other appropriate antibiotic, and the horse can get better. But if it's already gotten to an abscess point or busted open, it's usually too late to treat with an antibiotic because the abscess is walled off from the blood supply and it doesn't get into the area it needs to get into.
So
okay, let's back up here a little bit because you guys have been trying to gross Glenn out and he's been jumping in and everything. I want to get to the meat of this because this actually is
That's
kind of a
bad
big deal.
Word to use right now.
You know, it's all good.
So to give a general overview on strangles, what does it look like in your horse and how does your horse get it? And then what should you do immediately?
Okay, what it looks like, we kind of went over that briefly just to gross Glenn out, but it can look as simple as little nodules underneath the mandible are getting slightly enlarged and firm feeling. They're hot and tender. Now, that happens with any respiratory problem because the lymph nodes act like a filtering unit. They filter out all the fluids that are flowing from front to back and trying to filter out any kind of bugs that they might be coming across to help clean the system. That's what lymphatics do. Okay. So they can enlarge on any kind of respiratory problem like the EHV, influenza, any other upper respiratory problem. So you don't can it too much on it, but you should keep a close eye, and I would start isolating that horse immediately. And that means a stall next to it on either side, and if you have stalls that go nose-to-nose behind you, in caddy corner, they all need to be cleared out and emptied so that horse doesn't have anybody nearby. 35 feet is how far they can sneeze or cough and spread the mucus and bacteria. So even across an aisleway, which usual aisleways are anywhere around 10 to 12 feet across, that horse across the way could actually get infected as well. So that's the, this is simply, it could look like enlarged lymph nodes and this discharge coming out of the nose. It could be as bad as the lymph nodes abscess and you get, seriously, a puddle of pus underneath the horse coming from the nose and from the lymph nodes, spreading it all over the stall, and that just becomes a nightmare in trying to clean up and do your biosecurity that everybody's been talking about lately with EHV. It's a more obvious biosecurity. Now, to avoid and protect your horse from it is definitely make sure that you don't share water buckets. Same thing as with the herpes discussion we've had this last month. Don't share water buckets. Don't share water troughs. Don't go nose-to-nose with horses you don't know anything about. Introducing new horses to your barn, make them be isolated for 21 to 30 days before you introduce them to the herd or introduce them into the main barn. Those are just simple common sense ideas. Don't share bits. Anything that would come in contact with saliva or nose or nasal secretions, you should definitely avoid. If you have had a problem with strangles on your farm previously, it is not a problem in the soil of the farm, which is an old thought process. It is more of a problem that comes from a particular horse that's a carrier, and that horse may never show signs of the disease. They may be a carrier that just spreads it, and then the next horse gets it and has the fulminant disease process go on. What can you do to prevent? Besides doing the biosecurity, you yourself can vaccinate your own horse. Those vaccines don't completely keep them from getting the disease. They just decrease the severity of the disease. There's intramuscular ones that have many side effects to them, and the fact of being very, very painful. The horses act like they're lame after they get the shot, it's just a very painful shot to give. The other one is an intranasal one. It's been out for at least 10 years, and it goes to where the bug actually harbors, which is up in the guttural pouch and nasal area, nasopharynx area, and it coats the mucosa and protects them from getting the disease in an exorbitant amount, such as the enlarged lymph nodes and such. That one has other side effects, too. There have been abscesses found in the muscle of horses that were given an IM shot at the same time. Whether that was contamination by the person giving the IM shot or whether it is truly circulated to the blood and lands in the IM spot, the jury's out on that. That discussion seems to go back and forth quite a bit. So I always recommend giving that shot alone by itself without any other IV or IM shots. And then the other side effects they can get is an autoimmune response to that vaccine. But they're all trying to protect the horse in its best effort. So if you think you're in a population that might have a tendency to see strangles, you might want to protect your horse for it with either the vaccine or just keep them away from horses you don't know. So did I cover everything on that, Jennifer? Or is it Jamie that asked?
Yeah, you did great. I mean, especially, you know, the vaccine thing. First of all, my horse is not just allergic to many vaccines. He's allergic to needles. And he's also allergic to certain types of vaccines, which is really fun. But he did not have a reaction to the intranasal strangles vaccine, strangles thing that he got. So how effective is the intranasal one?
It is effective, better than the IM one, because it does decrease the severity of the disease. But in an outbreak, they recommend you do not vaccinate with any of the vaccines. So let's say you're in a barn and all of a sudden you found out a horse at your barn got strangled and you want to run and vaccinate. They highly recommend you do not do that. So this is something you're going to do ahead of time. So you're going to have to pre-plan for it. But as far as you said, the side effects to it is very minimal. The up the nose, it's the most trouble you see is a clear nasal discharge the next day. Big deal. It's nothing life-threatening. There's no fever. There's no soreness, anything like that. So it's a very good vaccine in that respect.
Oh, good, good, good. So, yeah, that's very important. Now, I think what you guys – since strangles is this very scary word to most horse owners. You know, strangles, that's what everybody freaks out. And obviously you do have so many preventative measures that you have to take when you do have a horse with strangles on your property. So, Christy, I believe you guys have a webinar coming up about this.
We don't have a webinar coming up on strangles. We do have one on upper respiratory infections in general that probably will touch on that, and that will be June 30th. So it'll probably cover herpes as well, flu. There's a number of things it will cover. So definitely take a look at that. You can sign up for that at thehorse.com/webinars. But I also wanted to talk about, and Aaron touched on it briefly, the guttural pouches. And this is something that people have heard about but don't necessarily understand what they are and how the bacteria can live in them and cause outbreaks later. Aaron, can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. They have just recently found out that that's where the bug Strepsiquoia is hiding out and doing its little colonization, if you want to call it that, and reproducing itself. It's a nice warm environment that's in the back of the throat or between the head and the throat, nasopharynx area is what we call it. And some people compare it to like the middle ear in humans, but it has a bunch of blood vessels that run on the outside of it. It has some bones that run through it. Your vet can go up and scope into it, or a vet can go up and scope into it and look for pus in there if you have any concern that you might have a horse that has some sort of discharge that's coming from that area. They have tested many farms that have had annual strangled outbreaks, and how they test them is they put saline lavage into these guttural pouches, catch what comes out the nose, and then they test it for the strangled bug. And that horse that is positive for what they call guttural pouch lavage is one that they will start to treat. And they treat in the guttural pouch. They don't treat with systemics. They treat in the guttural pouch. Then they retest them again to make sure they clear them up. And a lot of these consistently strangled barns every year are now seeing no strangled cases.
Perfect.
Okay.
And I just want to let everyone know, I just posted a link on the Horses in the Morning page. That article for that, we've actually got a diagram of those guttural pouches that you can take a look at. Excuse me. That's it's at thehorse.com/15229, I believe. Let me pull that back up. Yes, 15229. So,
good deal. Well, you guys, thank you so much. Unfortunately, because we got a little late start, we are running a little bit late. But definitely check out thehorse.com. Pastor Jones, we missed you. It was good to have you back.
I missed you guys, too. I was looking forward to it, so I was bummed I missed the first call that came through. But I just was in a little area that didn't pick up the first time around. So I'm glad to have joined you guys today. Thank you very much for having me again.
Can I have a request? Can we talk like something about like massage or?
Actually, Glenn, you are reading my mind. I was actually thinking about a physical therapist coming on and talking about physical therapy in horses.
Oh, perfect. No blood and guts in that. I like
that. I thought I'd get on your good side for once here, Glenn. So
I think she's going to tease you.
Too bad. It was just the part about walking through the barn and
walking through the pus on the floor.
Walking through the pus on the floor. That was it. It wasn't bad.
Well, usually you don't walk through it. Usually you slip on it.
Oh,
flat on your back in the puddle. There you go, approved. Glenn.
That is not horse husband approved. That is grounds for divorce, and we get everything except the horse.
But so. You think of what a hero you are when you help, and that's in that kind of a situation.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate you joining us again this week.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Talk to you next week. See, we learned so much from thehorse.com.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
I like your statement. We get everything but the horse. You can keep that.
Well, we go from pus to the reading. Are you ready? You have it open?
Oh, I'm ready.
So the first day's reading of Black Beauty. And I promised you a dramatic opening, and here it is.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
The first place that I can well remember was a large pleasant meadow with a pond of clear water in it. Some shady trees leaned over it, and rushes and water lilies grew at the deep end. Over the hedge on one side, we looked into a plowed field, and on the other, we looked over a gate at the master's house, which stood by the roadside. At the top of the meadow, there was a plantation of fir trees, and at the bottom, a running brook overhung by a steep bank. Whilst I was young, I lived upon my mother's milk, and as I could not eat grass, in the daytime I ran by her side, and at night I lay down close by her. When it was hot, we used to stand in the pond in the shade of the trees, and when it was cold, we had a nice warm shed near the plantation. As soon as I was old enough to eat grass, my mother used to go out to work in the daytime and came back in the evening. There were 6 young colts in the meadow besides me. They were older than I was. Some were nearly as large as grown-up horses. I used to run with them and had a great fun. We used to gallop all together round and round the field as hard as we could go. Sometimes we had rather rough play, for they would frequently bite and kick as well as gallop. One day, when there was a good deal of kicking, my mother whinnied to me to come to her, and then she said, "I wish you to pay attention to what I am going to say to you. The colts here who live here are very good colts, but they are cart horses, and of course, they have not learned manners. You have been well-bred and well-born. Your father has a great name in these parts, and your grandfather won the cup 2 years ago at the Newmarket races. Your grandmother has the sweetest temper of any horse I ever knew, and I think you have never seen me kick or bite. I hope you will grow up gentle and good and never learn bad ways. Do your work with a good will, lift your feet up well when you trot, and never bite or kick even in play." I have never forgotten my mother's advice. I knew she was a wise old horse, and our master thought a great deal of her. Her name was Duchess, but he often called her Pet. Our master was a good, kind man. He gave us good food, good lodging, and kind words. He spoke kindly to us as he did his little children. We were all fond of him, and my mother loved him very much. When she saw him at the gate, she would neigh with joy, trot up to him. He would pat and stroke her and say, "Well, old Pet, how is your little darkie?" I was dull black, and he called me darkie. Then he gave me a piece of bread, which was very good, and sometimes he brought a carrot for my mother. All the horses would come to him, but I think we were his favorites. Our mother always took him to the town on market day in a little gig. There was a plowboy, Dick, who sometimes came into our field to pluck blackberries from the hedge. When he had eaten all he wanted, he would have what he called fun with the colts, throwing stones and sticks at them to make them gallop. We did not much mind him, for we could gallop off, but sometimes the stone would hit and hurt us. One day he was at this game, and he did not know that our master was in the next field, but he was there, watching what was going on. Over the hedge he jumped in a snap, catching Dick by the arm, and gave him such a box on the ear, it made him roar with pain and surprise. As soon as we saw the master, we trotted up nearer to see what went on. "Bad boy," he said, "bad boy to chase the colts. This is not the first time, nor the second, but it shall be the last. There, take your money and go home. I shall not want you on my farm again." So we never saw Dick anymore. Old Daniel, the man who looked after the horses, was just as gentle as our master, so we were well off. That was fantastic. That was beautiful. Wake up, Glenn!
So are you done yet?
Oh, my God.
How many more pages?
About 180.
I thought we were doing the short version.
This is the short version.
How long's the long version?
Like 400 pages. So get over it.
Oh.
Did you? So when I quizzed you, what was the mother's name?
Master.
I swear to God, I'll read it. I'll read it again if you don't pay attention.
There was a master, and there was a Daniel, and then there was a kid throwing stones. Did I get that right?
Yeah, you listened at the very end. Nice
and they
job.
Were fed bread and carrot, which is a bad diet Duchess. For a horse.
Duchess, there will be a pop quiz question
at the end of this. And the cart horses were the bad ones, which I think is very, very discriminating and biased, by the way.
It's a little racist. It's a little
racist.
I
think so. This is a racy book. I'm not too sure we can continue with this.
Oh, it's continuing. We will be back tomorrow at the same time with the same next chapter is called The Hunt. See? The Hunt. Jennifer, you'll love it. And Jennifer, I'm going to make sure you're paying attention as well, my friend, because you also have not read
the book. She's left, actually. I think she even left the room. I think she's gone.
Listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network. Just search horseradionetwork.com. You can follow us on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning. And we're also on Twitter at Horse Radio. See, I'm going to read this for the rest of the time. And we're also on Twitter Horse Radio. If you miss the live show, you can listen to the recorded version on our website, affiliate websites, or iTunes. You never need to miss an episode. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 Eastern. So goodbye, everybody. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody, and enjoy this on your way out.
Senora, senora, you hear the crowd yell. Senora, senora, hear everyone say. We love you, senora, and good luck today. The paddock is crowded and senora knows. It's all about her, so she points her toe. She busts out her face.